96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You know, there are all kinds of options these days for games of chance with the promise of pretty big winnings. You know, you got the lottery, you got Powerball, Mega Millions, new casinos popping up all over the place, even community bingo parlors. But for every group that enjoys a slot machine or poker game, there's always someone who has more than a passing interest in gaming. Some are actually addicted to gambling. What does that mean exactly? And how can it be addressed? And how do you know if you or someone you care about has a problem? Well, tonight on this Medical Monday, we're talking about gambling addiction. My guest is Keith White. He is the executive director of the National Council on Problem Gambling. If you have a question or a comment, we invite you to give us a call tonight to talk about gambling addiction. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. Keith, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. It's my pleasure.
So let's talk about what gambling addiction is. We know that people often struggle with alcohol, and we know that people often struggle with drugs and narcotics and the like, and they usually associate those things with physical ailments. Mm-hmm. We know alcohol is a disease, for example. But when it comes to gambling, a lot of people struggle with understanding why or how gambling is related to those other addictions.
Well, it's a great question. And one of the things that I think it's very important to understand is that the similarities between gambling addiction and other addictions, there's more similarities than there are differences. But as you said, one of the biggest differences, one of the things that's really tripped people up in their understanding and acceptance of people with gambling addiction is the lack of that substance. And so in some ways, you can say the substance the gamblers abuse is money. You know, that's what they really crave is the action. And so if you look at the brain of someone with a gambling problem and you put them right next to the brain of someone with a cocaine problem and you can peer inside that brain with an fMRI or some of these other scanners, you'll see the exact same regions of the brain are deadened and the exact same regions of the brain are activated. It's almost eerie that the slides of those two brains look almost identical. So we know that it's two things. Heavy repeated gambling can actually physically change your brain. And we know that people are born or grow to develop patterns that lead them to develop gambling and other addictions.
How? You said change your brain. How so?
Well, it turns out that if you gamble a lot and if you start to develop a problem, some of those receptors in your brain, things that you could get excited by other things in life, painting or art or your job, your profession, those receptors get hijacked and they only get excited anymore by gambling. And then once they start to get hijacked and once you start to get so much dopamine building up in those centers and starved in the other centers, then your brain needs more and more of that same dopamine to achieve that same excitement, which is why people, they can't just spend $5, $50, then $500, $5,000. And we call that with alcoholics, we call it tolerance. We call that the same with gamblers. Problem gamblers develop tolerance. They need to bet more and more money to achieve that same high because they've literally hijacked most of those pleasure and pain reward circuits in their brain, just as we know happens with alcohol, with heroin, with cocaine.
So is this a physiological situation or is this a mental health issue?
It's sort of all of the above because, of course, you know, there's biology. You know, you may be more at risk for developing a gambling addiction or, you know, again, you may have done enough gambling to sort of change your brain a little bit. But we also know that there's a lot of psychology and sociology involved in this. So we know, for example, no one starts out to be a problem gambler, just like no one starts out to be an alcoholic. And most of us start out gambling socially and it's recreational. It's fun. But we know that when you start to develop a problem, you start to gamble alone. You know, you start to gamble in isolation. You know, we also know that the set and setting has a difference. You know, if you're there with your friends and your friend may say, you know, Harold, you know, you just spent, that's another $500, man, let's go home. You know, it's, you know, but when you're gambling alone, there's no one to help, you know, advise you that next ATM deposit is too much. Because the crazy logic, if you will, of the gambler is that they're always one bet away from winning everything back.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It's our Medical Monday. And tonight we're talking about gambling addiction and trying to define the difference between games of chance and just having a little fun and those who are addicted to gambling and indeed are negatively impacted by it. If you have a question, if you have a comment about gambling, if you are looking for help for yourself or even for a family member, please give us a call again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. G, calling from Largo. Thanks for calling, G. What's on your mind?
I have a spouse, and we have three school-age children, and I want to know how do I address his gambling to his children, because they already know that there's something that's going on that's not quite right financially.
What's the problem? Can you give us some short details about some of the issues that...
Well, he gambled. He lost a six-figure job over it, a car over it, and he now goes into the kids', you know, wallets and piggy banks when they're not there and takes their money. The first couple of times, of course, they saw it as, who stole my money? But then he apologized and promised that he will get permission next time. So, you know, they recognize that it's not right, but it's their parent. So I want to know, how can I sit down and talk with them about, you know, the problem that he has, what's really going on?
Well, G, thank you very much for calling. The good news is that there is hope and help available. On our website, and we'll give you the URL later, we've got a brochure called Financial Issues for Loved Ones of Problem Gamblers. And that details, it's free, common sense steps that you can take to help protect you and your kids. And there's information there about how to talk to them about a loved one's gambling, because this is certainly something that can have, obviously, devastating impacts on you and your family. And we want to help you take the steps that you need to make sure that they're protected and that you are able to communicate to them, to your spouse, you know, and to others in your life, what you're going through and sort of some
Can you give us at least a little bit of help as to how to talk to school-aged children about it?
It's extremely difficult. It's like having someone in your life who has a drug or alcohol problem. So the most important thing to know is that, again, since there is hope and help available, that being supportive and generally not confronting the person with the problem, but being there to, you know, being there to say, look, here's some resources, here's some tools and tips and suggestions, here's a helpline number you can call, and then to take steps to protect yourself, to educate yourself about this disorder, and, you know, what it is, you know, you're doing or not doing that's going to exacerbate, it's going to help the situation, but it's difficult.
So what should she tell the children?
I think, you know, that your father may have a problem, and that we want to help him get help for his problem, that there is a solution there. And the solution is not gambling more. It's not necessarily a financial problem. And most importantly, it's nothing that they've done. Mm-hmm. It's not their fault, but there's an opportunity there for him to take the next steps and for them to be supportive of him taking the next steps, but to also make sure they're protecting themselves.
Real quick, G, is he willing to seek help?
He sought help, and I was then incorporated into the counseling.
Mm-hmm.
But that ended when he realized that the counselor was no longer believing everything he said.
There's
and now everything is my fault.
Well, and there's an enormous level of blame and shame, and there's a lot of trust. We talk to counselors that work with drugs and alcohol, and they say that in the family of the gambler, there's so much distrust because it's the hidden addiction. You know, they say they're going to stop, and then they're on their phone. Are they texting their friend, or are they texting their bookie? You know, so it's very there's no blood test to show that they've really stopped, you know, that they don't have any gambling in their system.
So that, and that website, real quick before we let G go.
ncpgambling.org. Confidential tools and tips, 24-hour helpline, resources for both you and your family.
ncpgambling.org. Good luck to you, and certainly our hearts go out to you and your family as you move through this struggle. So thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday, and we are talking about gambling addiction. Give us a call, please, if you have a question or a comment or if you need help. Deborah calling from Northeast D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing? I have a gambling addiction on $20 scratch tickets.
Okay.
And just because I won $10,000, I think I can win some more. And it's so bad. Was I talk to my ex-boyfriend, tell him I need money, make up lies to the cash stick or whatever, just to get some money and go buy scratch tickets, right? And I really want to stop, but I don't know how. And the man just said, I wrote it down, and he just said, go on there and look on the website. But is it really going to help me?
We know that the rates are actually excellent. If you're able to get some help, either through a free self-help group like Gamblers Anonymous, or, you know, therapy in Maryland, D.C., you know, it's available in Maryland. 65% of people who seek treatment for gambling and complete that course will be either abstinent or severely reduce their gambling. So the odds are in your favor. Like you said, you know, reaching out is hard. You've taken a great first step here. You know, you know that there's a problem. And if you can keep it going, go to gamblersanonymous.org. That's another website. We can help you get to where you need to be.
Okay.
I got to do something. I'm going to try, too.
Well, outstanding.
I think the fact, Deborah, that you have called this program and you realize is that you're struggling with something, and correct me if I'm wrong, Keith, that seems to be one of the first best steps. There's no denial with her. She realizes that there's a problem.
That's the absolutely important great step. In fact, we know that it's interesting you say that. We know that early big win is one of the biggest predictors of a gambling problem. So believe me, you're not alone. There's a lot of people that have that early big win and that they're chasing that excitement again. We can help you. We can help you chase it in a better way.
Okay. Deborah, good luck to you. Thank you for calling. Again, that website is ncpgambling.org. Oh, I'm sorry. ncpgambling.org. Thank you, Keith. ncpgambling.org. We've got a lot of phone calls coming through. If you can't get through, please keep trying. I promise we will be taking your phone calls even after 7:30. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. OJ calling from Landover. OJ, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. First of all, I want to say I appreciate your program.
Thank you so much.
I listen to it a whole lot. I pay all my bills and everything, but I know my intentions are to go and gamble after I pay.
And we see that a lot because I think it's really important to note that, you know what, there's people who can gamble responsibly. 95% of people who go to gamble are able to do so without serious harm. And so, OJ, it may be, you know, it's a question for us. It's not whether or not you gamble. You know, and especially if you're getting your bills paid ahead of time, all right, that's your discretionary money, is the I think the key thing, and Harold and I were talking about this, is if you're able to set a limit of time and money before you go gambling and you're able to stick with it, you're in control. You don't have a problem. And so maybe your limit is, you know, $500 a night. Maybe your limit's 50. But if you're able, or maybe your limit's an hour, you know, but if you find yourself at the table 5 hours later after you said you'd be home, that's when we start to worry a little bit. That's when it starts to turn from recreational to, you know, potential problem.
Okay. OJ, good luck to you, and thank you so much for calling. Again, that website is ncpgambling.org, ncpgambling.org. Our phone number is 202 202-319-7810. We're talking about gambling addiction tonight. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you need help, if you need support, if someone you know that you care about needs help or support, give us a call. We do have resources and we're talking about it. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.